Sports Radio, FNZ Mac and Bone with you. Wednesday morning. Man, there's so much Hornets news and rumors out there, a lot pertaining to the draft and trades. And, of course, you've got the Woj report saying that Mike D'Antoni interviewing today with Michael Jordan face-to-face. Maybe we'll have a coach. Maybe we will. But right now, I want to focus on the draft, which is coming up tomorrow night. And when you're watching it on ESPN, you're going to see this man. You're going to hear the great analysis. And we're lucky enough here on draft day eve to get a few minutes with him. He is Jay Billis from ESPN with us here on the Mac Attack Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Jay, I know you're busy for the draft, man. Thanks for coming on.
No, my pleasure. Good to be with you. How you guys doing?
What's up, Jay?
We're doing good. We got a lot of Hornets chaos going on. So we want the calming voice of Jay Billis to talk to us about these draft picks. And the first question I would have, Jay, is there's no secret the Hornets, you know, need a big man. And we're very familiar here with Mark Williams, right? And I think a lot of us would love to have Mark Williams. But Jalen Duren, like, I study him more and more, and it's like, I feel like he's a heck of a prospect as well. Like, what are the differences between Duren and Williams? And do you view one as, like, better for the Hornets than the other? Like, what do you think?
Well, Jalen Duren from Memphis is, a powerful athlete. And both of them are long-armed, kind of rebounder, shot blocker types.
Yeah.
But Duren's more of a power forward type player, and Williams is more of a center. Not that that matters as much anymore, but I think Duren's going to be gone by the time you get to 13.
Okay.
I don't anticipate him being there. Who knows what'll happen? Because you slot these guys in all these mock drafts and try to figure out what teams are going to do, and every year we're wrong. There's no way to get this right. But my guess is he'll be gone. Williams seems to be, a pick for Charlotte. Like, I don't know what Charlotte's going to do at 13. My guess is that Williams will be available at 15, because Cleveland, if I remember right, drafts at 14, and I don't think they're going to take a big guy. So it's likely that if Williams lasts that long, he'll stay to 15. And who knows? I mean, there are a lot of people, myself included, that think he's more of a top 10 talent, but there are a lot of really good players in this draft, a lot of really good wings.
Yeah.
But you guys have seen a lot of Mark Williams, seen a lot of everybody. He's a shot blocker, shot changer, and he can really change ends. Like, he really runs. He's a lob threat. And I think he's going to be able to shoot the ball from 17 feet. Who knows, maybe beyond, because he makes his free throws. He's a 74% free throw shooter, which is very good. I mean, I hate saying good for a big guy because, yeah, that's so derogatory as a former big guy. I always hated that. Good for a big guy. He's got great hands for a big guy. Boy, good feet for a big guy. Nice touch for a big guy.
You don't seem hurt by this at all, Jay.
This is very therapeutic, I think. I'm lying down right now on a couch trying to talk about this. But he's a really good prospect, and I think it's guard and ball screens and all that stuff out on the perimeter. He had some issues, but most guys his size do. I think he compares favorably to a player like Rudy Gobert, and Rudy Gobert is pretty damn good. So he's going to be a defensive presence for you, and I think a valuable asset, especially if you can get him in the 15 range.
We're talking to Jay Billis here on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Jay, there's been some, it's rumor time, so for whatever it's worth, there's been some talk that the Hornets may have interest in trading up into that, 7 to 9, 10 range to take Shaedon Sharpe from Kentucky. He had a unique journey, reclassified, sat out. What kind of player is Shaedon, and what's his long-term upside?
His upside is gigantic. He reclassed. He was the number one player in the 2022 class before he reclassed up and went to Kentucky last year. He didn't play, and there are questions, surrounding that. Why didn't he play? Did Calipari not want him to play, or did he not want to play? I don't really care about any of that stuff. It doesn't matter. But, I would go to Kentucky practices before a game to watch the team. And, I'm supposed to be watching the team, and meanwhile, I'm watching him work out because he was captivating. He's ridiculously talented. An above-the-rim wing, can really shoot it and incredibly fluid and skilled. And, you know, when you watch him in summer basketball, that EYBL stuff, the Nike circuit, he was dominant. And he's going to be an outstanding player. But his ceiling, you know, it's one of those things, his ceiling is really, really high. And so if any team, Hornets included, decide to trade up, you better trade up to, you know, to six.
Yeah.
Because he may be gone at six. Who knows? Like, there's a lot of talk right now, and you guys nailed it. Like, it's kind of lying season. So who knows what's going to happen. But Ben Mathurin of Arizona is said to be rising up and could be taken number five. And that means Keegan Murray would drop down. Does that mean Sharp stays where he is? Who knows?
Yeah.
But he's a really talented player. That if he had decided to come back to Kentucky for another year, he'd be the presumptive number one pick in the 23 draft.
Jay, you'd be shocked to know during lying season that we on Sports Talk Radio fall for all of them.
Yeah, I mean, and considering it's lying season, I'm a really big fan of your show.
Oh, no. That was so well played. What can I say to that?
That'll be a station promo.
All right, Jay Billis will be on the draft coverage tomorrow night on ESPN.
You know what? I wasn't even going to tell him that Sean McDonough and Gary Williams both in the last month took shots at him on the air.
That's true, and we're going to get Seth Greenberg in the 9 o'clock hour when he comes on, take a shot at Jay as well now after that.
Well, I mean, Seth will be great. He's one of the best basketball analysts on the planet. But, you know, he uses a lot of monosyllabic words and talks really slowly. So I hope your audience enjoys one question and then a extremely long, painful answer.
Oh, man. All right, Jay, here's a guy I'm intrigued by. And I know he's worked out for the Hornets, you know, who have that 13 and 15 if they stay put. They do. Is Tari Eason, 6'9", 6'10", forward. You know, seems like he is a two-way player, right? Like, what type of player is Tari Eason? I mean, is he a good pick if the Hornets get him with one of their picks?
Yeah, he's a really good pick. And I think, I have him slotted, I think, at 17 or 18. And, you know, that doesn't matter. But he'll be available when the Hornets draft. And Eason is one of those guys that there are a number of guys like Eason in this draft. And by that, I mean guys that last year were not on the draft radar. You know, he played at Cincinnati last year and averaged about 7 points a game, transfers to LSU, and he was the best sixth man in the country. You know, came off the bench and was the leading scorer for LSU. He's an excellent defender, long, athletic, can guard multiple spots and impacts the game that way. And it's not about him. You know, just the fact that he was willing to come off the bench did it willingly and was willing to do whatever he was asked, I think speaks really well of him and his athletic character. But he can score. He's not a great shooter, but he can knock down a perimeter shot. Really good running the floor. So he's one of those guys that I think adds a lot of value in winning. Is he going to be an all-star player? I would hesitate to say that, but is he a starter in the league? Absolutely. And I'm not putting a ceiling on him because there are a number of guys that get drafted, you know, middle, late in the first round that turn out to be, you know, great players or all-stars. It's not a long list of guys, but Eason is a valuable asset. And I love your use of the word intriguing. Because that's a draft word. That's a heavy draft word. You know, when somebody asks about a prospect and I don't know what to say, I say, you know, he's really intriguing.
Yeah, that's my trick. Makes me sound like I know what the hell I'm talking about.
I don't know jack about what I'm talking about.
That's right. Jay, I'm intrigued because I don't know a damn thing. Yeah, you caught on.
To speak mag, that means he just Googled who he was about 20 minutes ago. We're talking to Jay Bill.
He's so intrigued. I want to read this bio I just
Everyone's getting shots fired this morning. We're talking to Jay Bill with ESPN on 92.7 FNZ. Jay, Oche Agbaji of Kansas gets linked to the Hornets in a lot of mock drafts. You saw a ton of Agbaji. How do you project him as a pro?
He's not intriguing to me. He's not.
Yeah, not intriguing. you know about him.
Exactly.
You know, he's a kid from Kansas City that was a soccer player growing up and not heavily recruited. He was headed to a mid-major school before Kansas snapped him up. And, you know, he had kind of an old-school natural progression for a really good player back when you were allowed to mature before you had to, you know, leave after a year to be considered a great player. But, you know, he had a great year. And he's improved every year. His shooting percentages have shot up every year. His scoring, you name it. But he's athletic, and he can really shoot it. Most of the year he's shooting around 50% from three. He led the Big 12 in scoring, and he's a really good player. And he's one of those plug and play guys that can kind of 3-and-D. He can knock down perimeter shots and stretch the floor. And then he's a solid defender. I wouldn't say he's a stopper, but a solid defender. He's really solid in just about every area. The only sort of complaint I had about Agbaji was I always thought with his body and athletic profile, he should have got to the free throw line more. But when you watched him play, I mean, he had a game against Texas Tech this last year at 37 and made the winning bucket. He was really consistent throughout the course of the year. And I think that's who he is. He's just a consistent producer that I think will be a very good pro. And he should be. That's about the area I think he'll be drafted.
Yeah.
Probably in the 13 to 18 range. But you know what you're getting with him. You're getting a solid player that's going to play in the NBA for a long time as long as he stays healthy.
All right, Jay, last question I want to ask you is about kind of the Hornets.
That's what he wants to hear.
Yeah. I told him that because I felt like he would really give it his all in this answer knew he's out.
Someone said Jay's dunking on us like it's 1984.
I wish I could dunk back then.
All right, so here it is. On the Hornets draft approach, like a lot of the scuttlebutt, and again, it's lying season, but a lot of reports say, hey, the Hornets intend to really, use one of those picks. In a trade, try to get a veteran player and maybe use one and trade one. Knowing where the Hornets are as a franchise, Jay, like we had young guys from last year's draft that weren't getting any run last year. Like, do you think they're better off taking two more young players, or do you think it's in their best interest to try to find a way to trade at least one of these?
I've heard, and again, you guys identified the lying season part. So I've heard that 13 is in play for a trade, and then 15 would probably be used for like Mark Williams.
Yeah.
Who knows if any of that's true? I certainly don't know. But, anytime you're talking about a trade, the question is, what are you going to get? And if you can get a really good veteran or get a higher draft pick, if you can package some things together, great. But there's value there at both 13 and 15, and it just sort of depends on how you want to look at it. If you want immediate help, maybe that's not the way to get it. But if you are looking more long term, which I think you have to in the draft, that's my view of it. You can make some good selections there. And look, I mean, if you look at the way Golden State has done it, they got Steph Curry at 7. They got Klay Thompson at 11. They got Draymond Green at like 35, something like that. The draft is the best way to build long term. But as you guys know, the hardest spot to be is kind of the middle of the first round. That means you're good but not great. Yeah. And you're not necessarily – you have to be really, really smart about it and maybe get lucky, too, that you draft the upside. We could wind up seeing, it's really weird in some of these drafts, we could wind up seeing some really good players fall to the second round or go undrafted, and then a guy like Peyton Watson from UCLA could get drafted in the first round. The guy averaged like 5 points a game or something. But he's got a lot of ability. And the way I would couch it is like, so if last year you were drafting Keegan Murray, people would go, what are you crazy? The guy averaged 7 points a game. But this year he averaged 24, and he's a top 5 pick. So if you took him last year, you'd look pretty darn smart. You wouldn't look smart on draft night, but you look smart now. And that's sort of the rub here, is trying to find the value there when you're guessing in a way, how good the guy's going to be in time. I got a lot of respect for the decisions these front office people have to make, because it's really difficult. I mean, look at football. They get 5 years to look at those guys, and they make egregious mistakes every year.
We know.
Yeah, and we're asking these guys these people in the NBA to make a decision, long-term decision on a player they've seen for, a year? It's really difficult. I mean, look, I'm not saying they're running up Omaha Beach every day, but it's a difficult decision.
No, it's a point. It's a great point about how little you're going. Thanks, off Jay. Of how much you're projecting. Jay, great stuff.
We're
man.
Now going to rank the Baldwin on campus when you're gone.
Can't wait to watch you tomorrow, brother. Appreciate you giving us time, man.
Yeah, and really a big fan of your show. Where are you guys heard again?
We're on Charlotte, Jay, on 92.7. We got a new signal.
Oh,
we might reach
oh,
you
in
up.
My hometown.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's right. Oh,
well, I thought this was Omaha, Nebraska. I was waiting for you to ask, about Bryce McGowan.
All right, Jay, be good. There you go. Jay had to get one last dunk in our grill before he ended that interview there as well.
It's a layup drill.
Bone, I thought you were help tie defense.
No,
you didn't even slide in and try to block
that. He got me earlier. I got that out.
Okay. Oh, man.
All right. That was a good time. When we come back, Mac, we're going to talk more about quarterbacks. This is not Baker Mayfield, though, right? An NFL writer says that there's a perfect quarterback match for the Panthers. Find out who it is when we come back. Mac Bone on Sports Radio, 92.7 FNZ. Mac, pick up your jock. Billis just got us.
One of the best music gaffes ever in the history of this show is Bone thinking this was NFL films music.
Go play
the, instead of Linkin Park.
No, go play the very beginning. First of all, I was hardly listening to it. Go play the very beginning. It sounded like it was one of those.
Hey, you're Country Bone, though. You know what I mean? Country Bone can't survive when it comes to rock and roll.
Oh, you want to. Right there. It sounds like it's one of those
Linkin
old
Park.
NFL.
It's Faint by Linkin Park.
Yeah, I'm a Linkin Park guy. My musical.
It sounds like
my
it.
Musical playlist is so much better than yours.
You're Don't a Linkin even... Financial Field guy. You thought it was NFL films. I'm kidding, Bone. I'm kidding. I love you, Bone. Come over here and hug me.
Leave the humor to guys like Jay Bills.
All right, we're going to talk Panthers here. By the way, there will definitely be some humor. There will be some ranting and raving involved. It's What's Your Beef Wednesday. It's coming up at 8:40. We're going to solicit your beefs. We'll read a bunch of them on the air. We've got complaining to do. I know you're shocked by that. It is our weekly gripe session on the Mac Attack. What's Your Beef Wednesday coming up at 8:40. But before that, let's talk about something we complain about naturally, but we don't need a special segment for, and that is the Carolina Panthers. Mark Schofield is a writer for the USA Today Touchdown Wire Online. And he wrote a piece saying that there is a perfect quarterback fit out there for the Carolina Panthers, and it's not Baker Mayfield. Well, that had me right there. That had me intrigued because I am on Baker. I'm ODing on Baker right now. It's not a good thing.
Not a bakery for once.
He brought – oh, my God, Bo. That is choosing violence, my friend.
Well, you started the segment out by choosing violence.
So anyway – he suggests Jimmy Garoppolo, and he brings up the numbers of Jimmy G, according to Pro Football Focus, intermediate passing accuracy numbers. He was actually third in the league in adjusted accuracy among, you know, quarterbacks that, you know, threw like a certain amount of passes last year. His accuracy numbers on the short passes were pretty good, and he thinks that he would be a good fit for the McAdoo offense. Jimmy G hasn't been talked about near as much as Baker. I don't think the Panthers have talked near as much to San Fran, although they have talked. Probably because of the shoulder. It's probably a wait-and-see thing. What do you think about the idea of Jimmy G? Like, is that better than Baker Mayfield, Bone, or not? Or is Baker better? Or are they both ideas that don't really get you that excited?
Yes.
I don't love either idea, but if I had to pick one of the two, I'd take Jimmy G over Baker. Now, the health of Jimmy G is always the question. Even when he's playing, it always seems to be a thing where, hey, is he going to last? Now he's got the shoulder surgery. He can't throw to August. That's the only question I have about him is just health. But since you fixed the offensive line here, my question about Jimmy G before they drafted Icky and they did some offensive line movement was, are you going to put a fragile guy when you already have a fragile running back behind a questionable offensive line? Well, they've improved the offensive line now. Corbett, Bozeman, Icky. I now feel better if Jimmy G was there behind a more steady offensive line. I think that Jimmy G, Mac, also personality-wise, he's not necessarily the lightning rod that Baker is. No. So if you're going to bring a guy into your organization, maybe not even necessarily long-term, but just for the now, who's going to help elevate those around him better and adapt and buy in more? Yeah. Jimmy G or Baker? There's a lot less drama for this team with Jimmy G than whatever Baker's going to bring here.
Here's the thing with Jimmy G.
Baker, the drama maker.
The problem with Jimmy G is his salary is, you know, it's 1 year, it would cost you $24 million. And the Niners seem less desperate to get rid of him, right, than Cleveland is to get rid of Baker. So I don't know if you could get the Niners to eat some of that money themselves. I don't know. So we have the cap room to do it. We have over $25 million, but is that the way we want to spend it just for 1 year? Go for it for 1 year. I will say this about Jimmy G. The dude's a dang winner, man. His winning percentage, Bone, is 69% in games that he's played in San Fran. When he doesn't play, they win 23% of the time. Jeez. Like, you cannot deny his presence impacts winning. Now, when they win, is he putting the team on his back? Hell no, he's not. It's getting the ball out. It's getting it into Debo's hands. It's the running game. It's not having to do a ton because the defense is there. But could you make an argument, Bone, that, like you said, the improved O-line, now you're going to need McCaffrey to stay healthy. I know everybody's rolling their eyes. He's got a couple of weapons in the receiving game. DJ Moore's a dang stud. I think similar in a lot of ways to Debo. And this defense, San Francisco's defense has really been a big asset for Jimmy G. We've got a budding defense here. It's much better than Baker. It's just, do we want to invest $24 million when you could roll over cap money for next year when we're in a bad cap situation? Like, it feels like an impatient move when they tell us they're patient. But 1 year with Jimmy G is way more enticing to me than 1 year with Baker Mayfield.
Is Jimmy G ever going to be a top five franchise guy that carries a team on his back?
No, of course not.
But when things are right around him, when the coaching is good, offensive line is good, he's got weapons. When everything's in place, you mentioned the win percentage, you can win with him. And the way things are setting up now, and there's a lot of ifs, but if McCaffrey's in there to be that guy behind him, like we know that he can be when healthy, the line is better. You mentioned DJ Moore, who's similar in style to what Debo does in San Francisco. You've got other guys. If Robbie can progress, the defense is getting better. You can win, I think, at a pretty decent clip with Jimmy G, as long as everything around him stays intact, as long as McCaffrey's healthy, the offensive line does progress, the play calling is better. If it's all there, away we go. But if he has to carry the team and go win games and sling it around, that's not what you want out of Jimmy G.
But I do feel like we finally have a supporting cast where you bring in a quarterback and he just manages the game. We might be able to win nine or so. You know what I mean? Like, in the past, the roster wasn't ready. The O-line wasn't ready.
And, Mac, when
the young defense was growing.
The question about Sam Darnold when he left New York for me, now obviously there's physical stuff too, but it was, did he have a Jimmy Clausen-like experience, a David Carr-like experience where he got rattled so early he's never going to recover? Baker Mayfield, Mac, is he mentally going to be all right off that experience, or is he now just going to be deflated? Jimmy G's experience, he's older. It's not the same thing. Yeah, they drafted Trey Lance, but I don't worry about the mentals as a quarterback of Jimmy G leaving that situation. You kind of get a guy that knows who he is. Baker, still think he's trying to figure out who he is.
Yeah, Jimmy G, I'd rather have, just when you compare the two. The problem is, as somebody points out, Mac, are you trying to sell us paying 24 for Jimmy G when our offer to Cleveland on Baker is we'll pay 5? Jimmy G's worth 19 more million to have for one season. That's the rub. I just don't know if it's good business for a rebuilding team, Bone, that tells us they're patient. But like, if you, in a vacuum, Jimmy G is the choice over Baker any day of the week. You brought it up. The volatility of Baker and stuff like that compared to the steady leadership of Jimmy G for a young team, it's not even close who I would want. Would San Fran pay some of the salary to Jimmy G? You'd probably have to give a better draft pick, right? You'd probably have to give a good draft pick for Jimmy G in order to get them to cover some of the salary. And that's probably short-sighted, too. What kind of draft pick are we willing to give up for a one-year quarterback?
Here's the thing that's in San Fran's favor, because he can't throw, Matt, because of surgery. They get to see Trey Lance in camp in August. They can really evaluate, hey, is he – are we fully ready? Is he ready to go? And if he is, well, then it's like, all right, we got to do something with Jimmy. But if Trey Lance comes into camp, Mac, and it's like, ooh, what's going on? All of a sudden, they may say, well, they may not make that. But who knows? They've got time here on their side to really evaluate Trey Lance.
And that's another thing, too. Like, are they going to wait that long to trade him? Like, wouldn't the Panthers want their quarterback there by camp? You know? So if they're not ready to swing a deal by camp, that's a negative for Jimmy G. I don't know, man. This dude says, Max, I can literally hear the sounds of confusion from Mac right now on the radio. Because
can we hold on? Can we just listen here?
Because
yeah, I kind of do a little bit too. It's like a hum. It's like a hum.
Because in a vacuum, like Jimmy G, yeah, he'd be an upgraded quarterback. You can win with him if everything else, you know, is at least solid. But like the money, the injury, it just sucks. We are in a big old fat pickle. We're in a pickle-lickle-lickle bone when it comes to this damn quarterback situation. It's frustrating. I'm tired of talking about it. I'd rather talk about the Hornets coaching search, for God's sakes.
Right. Someone brings up a good point here. Where does this put us in the handsome rankings? We lost Olsen. We lost Keekly.
Well, you and I'd be 1 and 2, and Jimmy G'd be 3, probably. Oh, yeah, no, you're not talking about us.
We lost Cam. Where does this get us with in the ladies' handsome rankings? If Jimmy G enters this city, we got to move all the way up, right?
Who's more handsome, Jimmy G or McCaffrey?
Oh, God, that's... Boy,
and why are we? And why great, are we? Why are we debating and discussing?
I know, it's a great question. I don't know. I
think Jimmy G's more handsome than McCaffrey.
Do you really?
Do you think Jimmy G would come in here and there be Olivia would be glancing over there? Do you think he could start a problem or not?
Every woman in town would be.
Get the lingerie off the deck.
That would definitely be the most attractive backfield in football, right?
And why do we keep talking about this? Hey, man, we're secure men. We're secure men. That's what we are, baby. The sounds of security right here on the Mac Attack.
Sounds of confusion and security. When we come back, it's What's Your Beef Wednesday. Things that have bothered us and the listeners in sports and in life. Send them in, 704-570-9610. It's Sports Radio, 92.7 FNZ.
All hail, Sir Beef.
Now batting, lead beef, T-Bone Hancock.
Sports Radio, FNZ, Mac with you, Bone with you. Wednesday edition of the Mac Attack. Apparently, reportedly today is Mike D'Antoni, face-to-face with MJ. Interview day. What could go wrong, everybody? What could go wrong?
They're going to say, Mike, we're going to give you all the money that you want. That's great. But you can't have a coaching staff. Excuse me?
Yeah, I don't like what I'm hearing there about them, like, pushing assistants on guys. I'm not loving that.
Yeah, Mike, congratulations.
But hopefully it'll work out.
Mike, congratulations. Thanks for accepting the job. Here's your coaching staff.
let's have a beef session, though. And maybe it's about the Hornets. Maybe it's about, you know, local sports or whatever. Lord knows we have our share of beefs in Charlotte. Or maybe it's just about, I don't know, your wife's meatloaf she made last night. I don't know. I don't know what it could be.
I don't have a wife or eat meatloaf.
Whatever your beef is, this is our Wednesday What's Your Beef session. It's a complaining session. We all get together and we all gripe. Feel free to share your complaints. We're going to read a bunch of the entertaining ones. 704-570-9610, Garage Door Guru text line. What is your beef on a Wednesday? Bone, what is your biggest complaint that you have, sir?
I was left beefless last week. I was home and beefless last week, but now I'm back at it. A lot to say here. A couple of weeks ago, we chronicled the Nextdoor app, Mac, the neighborhood app that pertains to your neighborhood. That it's basically like Facebook for your neighborhood, and there's people on there that just get involved in threads, and it's mass chaos. But you can't look away because of stuff like this. So 2 weeks ago, I said, there was a suspicious car in a neighborhood in Mooresville, and they were trying to figure out who this person was. And it turns out it was a DoorDash driver. Well, last week, I'm still laughing. Another car came up somewhere that was driving through a certain neighborhood between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. day after day. It was stopping at various houses and then driving again. They almost called the cops, Matt, to try to figure out who was this character that had the audacity to drive through a neighborhood in the wee hours of the morning, start their car, stop it, start, stop. Turns out it's a person delivering the Charlotte Observer newspaper.
Oh, man. What these are the nosiest people. They're so paranoid. People on this Nextdoor app, get a dang life.
Hey, Nextdoor Karen, why are you awake between 2 and 4 monitoring the situation? Go back to bed, Karen.
That is such a Karen Central site, is it not?
I can't. You know what? I want to delete it because I get angry. I get a beef with it. But I feel like I kind of want to see what's going on now.
Oh, my wife tells me all the time what's on there. She is so entertained by that stupid app, man. My goodness.
That's a good one. Do you think there's going to be one that says, hey, there's a guy that talks to his dog while he's walking her every day? It's very odd. Well, who could that be?
By the way, I had a beef about my dog, Rocket.
Really?
This dude still is getting out of the house. He poked. Somehow he opened a gate the other day. I have no idea. I guess one of the kids left the gate on a little bit ajar or something. And when he gets out, he's like Barry Sanders. Dude, I can't stop this cat. Like, I need the help from the neighbors all the time. And, like, three neighbors had to help me get him. He makes me look like a fool. My lingerie's on the deck. People are laughing at me. I am, like, bacon gets out of the yard, goes right back to the front door. He's like me. We're both chunky. We both want to sit on the couch. But Rocket, this dude wants to explore. I'm tired of it, man.
This man gets
running
Rocket,
dogs.
Rocket,
it's a bad thing, bro.
This man it runs free, or this man, this dog runs free more than Kenny Atkinson. Can I also tell you,
Christian McCaffrey is prime. I'm telling you,
Mabel, when she gets loose, if the temperature is above 85, she knows the temperature. She goes, "Hey, not today." She'll come right back inside. Now, in the early,
God bless her. That's the way it should be.
On a crisp fall morning, Mabel might go, "You know what? I'm going to run a little bit."
Okay. But
she'll get tired and come back in and nap. I actually don't mind her getting loose because she'll nap for an hour afterwards.
By the way, our texter, I'm trying to find some texter beefs. What is your beef? What in your life, sports or non-sports, you want to complain about? Hit us with it on a text, 704-570-9610. One of our favorite text names, Thick Doink, has a problem with Willie P.
Oh, no.
Willie P. refuses to say his text handle name on the show when he fills in.
Seriously?
Come on, Willie P. What's wrong with our guy Thick Doink here, man? Don't discriminate.
Thick Doink is one of our most mature, respected texters.
Seriously, don't let the name fool you, man, by the way. Don't let the name fool you. Willie P., you are discriminating against a man with a silly text name, and I don't like hearing it.
Mac, I have another one for you. Do you ever get a song stuck in your head, and it's kind of like, you know it's not a great song, but it's in there, and you can't get it out of your head? I've got a very eclectic music taste, so I get a lot of these songs in my head. Can I give you an example, Mac, of a song that's been in my head now? I was mopping the floors last week, and this song was in my head. Finder, can you play this song by Breland and Thomas Rhett that I think Mac will enjoy, that has been in my bone brain now for seven
years? Is this Country Bone? Is this Country Bone?
Yeah, go ahead. Play it.
Praise the Lord for Southern women.
Here we go.
Crispy chicken. Praise the Lord for East Atlanta. Country grandma and my nana. Praise the Lord that I got everything I want and need and more. I might turn up on Saturday, but first.
There's a sample of it right there.
There you go.
So try wandering around Mooresville. That song stuck in your head. And Mac, I wouldn't just play that, Mac, that song, to get it stuck in your head. I would never do such a thing.
Of course you wouldn't. It's a little catchy. I'm not going to lie to you. I ain't a countryfied.
Julie playing the tambourine at church. That's a good song.
I'm not a countryfied man, but that's a little catchy. I'm trying to find some more beefs here. Kate's got a problem with Willie P. for not liking mayonnaise.
What is this, the Willie P. beef line?
That stuff's good on French fries. That is from Kate. I love mayonnaise on French fries. The only problem is I have to limit it because I feel like I literally am killing myself. I'm taking years off my life with each mayonnaise-soaked fry.
Do you know that, I mean? In hindsight, I used to do it as a kid a lot. I didn't know any better. Just that was my thing. I'm pretty sure that I did not reach my level of athletic success because of French fries and mayonnaise. Like, if I didn't dip French fries and mayonnaise, I probably would be on a Chris Paul-like level, honestly. French fries and mayonnaise just killed me.
Okay. All right. It tastes good, though. Well, what's happening? Let's see here. What other beefs do we have? This guy's got a beef that I always bag on the Panthers. But when I talk about the Hornets, I act like they're the best thing since sliced bread. Where on earth am I explaining that the Hornets are the best thing since sliced bread? Like, yeah, they finished four games over 500, and the Panthers were 5-12. Like, the Hornets have gotten better each year over the last 3 years. The Panthers have been stuck at 5 wins. Like, there's a clear difference there. But let's not act like I'm on here treating the Hornets like they're the dang Warriors or something. We don't even have a coach, and it's the day before the draft.
Being a Hornets fan is a kick in the nards.
What's your beef Wednesday on 92.7 Sports Radio FNZ? Mag, we have one of the dumbest beefs in the history of What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Really?
Can I present this to you here? There's no name attached. You know what? You don't deserve a name, 610. Wednesday beef. I haven't heard any draft talk today, and we're a day away from the NBA draft.
Sir, boom!
We did an interview at 6:20 replay. Hornets at top of the 7 o'clock hour. We did Hornets at 7:20. We did Jay Billis at 8. We have another Hornets segment coming up later. And we have Seth Greenberg at 9 o'clock. If you don't think we're talking draft today, you, sir, are the dumbest idiot that's ever texted this radio
show. Oh, my gosh, Bone. Bone is coming out firing. Maybe he just did not hear the Jay Billis interview. I think what he's saying is a lot of the Hornets talk, because you bring up Hornets segments, but a lot of the Hornets talk is, you know, coaching oriented or Miles Bridges oriented. You know what I mean? We have so much going on with his team. Now there's these Gordon Hayward trade rumors that are going to lead to a parade probably later today in uptown Charlotte. Like, I think what he's saying is it's a lot of the other Hornets stuff.
No, here's
but, like,
the, here's
I don't
the...
think you can help that. This stuff that's going on with the Hornets is huge. Drafting 13th and 15th, like, it's just not that sexy.
Here's the problem, because we live in a podcast world where you can just sort through and get the stuff when you want it. There are people, Matt, that they'll tune in at a certain time, and they think because they didn't hear it, something at exactly the time they tuned in, that we, A, didn't cover something, or B, that we're not. We got you. Chill out. Enjoy the ride.
You are an idiot.
We're veterans of this.
How about this one? These back-to-back ones are freaking hilarious. Unnamed texter. I got a beef. It's going to be 100 freaking degrees outside today, and I got to work outside. This is freaking brutal. You guys get to sit in an air-conditioned studio and act like fools. Sir, I feel for any of y'all that are working outside during this. You are the real freaking men and women. You are the real beasts out there doing it. I got the utmost respect for y'all. But Bone, literally about three texts later, Fort Mill Niner sent this one in.
What's that?
I have a beef with people bitching about how hot it is outside. It's summer in the South.
Bailey goes out there, the hotter it gets, the more woody chops outside.
I feel like people gripe about the weather a lot because it's one of the, like, easy things we can talk about with people that we don't know very well. You know what I mean? Like, how's the weather? What do you think of the weather? Oh, it's hot. Like, it's just an easy conversation maker.
I think
But you're right. Like, what do you think? It's June in Charlotte. It's hot.
I hate generic small talk. So if I find myself in a conversation, boy, it's hot out here, I feel like I'm going against everything that I go against. I don't like small talk, but the weather talk, what do you do? It just creates conversation. You see a woman at the bar sitting there, go, oh, it's hot outside, so are you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just not, what do you want them to say? Hey, did you see those January 6th hearings? How's that going to go? Like, we're so divided on everything as a country. Or would you like this opener for small talk? Hey, the Hornets, they're trying to get a coach. You know what I mean? Like, hey, what do you think about that Baker Mayfield thing? Like, what's, you know,
yeah,
like,
I actually
weather's
have
innocuous. It's not going to get you fired up.
I have a list of stuff I don't talk about with people now. It's most things. Everything.
Well, by the way, somebody woke up this morning. First thing they heard was Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper, and now it's in their head and they can't get it out. That is an ask the audience for someday. It's like, what is the most annoying song to get stuck in your head?
Oh, I got a lot. You know? I played some for you during a break. I got a lot of those on my phone.
I got right. One for you.
What you got?
1-800-COSTA-KIDS.
KAS COSTA KIDS.
That one right there. Is there anything worse than that?
Don't jiggle, jiggle. It folds. I'd like to see you.
Yeah, that one.
Jiggle. Sure.
That one's got embedded in my head lately. This damn TikTok song.
What
my
is
son.
It? I like to see you wiggle, wiggle, jiggle, jiggle. What's it go?
What does he say? My money doesn't jiggle, jiggle, it folds. I want to see you wiggle, wiggle for sure. I believe that's what it is. That's damn young TikTokers and their goofy stuff. All right, let's do this. We're going to take a breather. When we come back for my man beefing about...
Willie P got four more complaints during the last minute and a half.
And we're not here for that. Seriously, we'll read them later, though. All right, when we come back, for my man that wants some draft talk, Seth Greenberg, ESPN, breaking these players down. You got to hear it next. Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
I just love hot dogs.